Hello and welcome to Players Anatomy. I am your host, Charlie DeClean. I'm a physical therapist at Bell & Health Titletown Sports Medicine Orthopedics, a stone's throw away from iconic Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. On today's episode, we have part one of a part two interview with Dr. Pat McKenzie. Dr. McKenzie is a sports medicine fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeon here at Bell & Health Titletown and is also a team physician for the Green Bay Packers. So stretch out, warm up, and get ready. This is Players Anatomy. First up, news of the day. Well, we did not have any major injuries over the weekend. Obviously, baseball is still going, and we had an electric Game 5 of the NBA Finals with the Bucks and the Suns. But also, the Olympics are about to be here. So if you're listening to this live, today is July 19th, and the Olympics start up this week. So I really hope more than anything, take part of it. It's just such a great thing to have sports back. Obviously, these games were delayed by COVID, so I know it'll be a little bit confusing that this will say Olympics are the Tokyo 2020, and we are in 2021. But hope you enjoy it. Obviously, you know, living in the United States, for me, well, obviously, I'll be cheering for my country, but more than anything, it seems like we are hopefully going to watch the U.S. women's team overall hopefully take the world by storm. So exciting to watch Simone Biles, Ledecky in the water, and then obviously the women's national team for basketball and soccer hopefully will be exciting to watch. So for today's interview, we welcome Dr. Pat McKenzie. As mentioned before, he is a sports medicine fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeon here at Bell & Health Titletown, and he is also the team physician for the Green Bay Packers. For today's interview, we talked about his career pathway from growing up in Wisconsin to becoming the team physician of a professional franchise. This interview is a little personal for me because he did my second knee surgery when I was in high school, which really, quite frankly, set me on the career path that I am on today. So I hope you enjoy the interview as much as I did. Here is Dr. Pat McKenzie. All right, well, Dr. McKenzie, welcome. So give our listeners a little background. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
Well, I was born in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, way up north. My dad was a family practice doc up there at the time. Came back, became a radiologist, did his residency down in Milwaukee. We spent a few years in Milwaukee while he was training, and then we moved to Oshkosh and spent the rest of my entire childhood growing up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
So where did you, what did you do sport-wise? What did you love growing up?
Tried everything. Basketball, obviously, I think was my favorite and kind of where I focused all my attention. And eventually got to play high school ball at Oshkosh Lourdes and went to college up at St. John's University in Minnesota and played basketball there. And it was kind of my favorite. And sports were always part of our life, though my dad was a huge sports fan. He was an athlete in college, and it's always been part of our culture and our family.
And now your son coaches there now, right?
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so my dad kind of is the one that introduced me to St. John's, and I ended up going there. The guy who coached St. John's for 60 years actually was John Gilardi, coached my dad in college at Carroll College in Montana.
Okay.
So that's how he kind of became enamored with St. John's. And then my kids obviously thought it was cool when we tell all the stories, and both sons, and then my daughter went to St. Benedict.
Okay.
My daughter, Anne-Marie.
Okay. And then so was he your coach and your son Pat's coach?
No, Gilardi was the football coach.
Oh, football coach. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, but then Jim Smith was the basketball coach. Jim Smith was there for 55 years.
Okay.
So that's he coached me and my sons.
And then there wasn't much in between your son Patrick taking over.
He took over for Coach Smith.
For him.
Yeah.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And I just saw, I was just following it on Twitter, and it sounds like he's had a nice start to his career.
Yeah.
He's a coach.
He really has. It's been just a great run. This past year was tough, you know.
That sucked for everybody.
It's just for everybody. It's such a weird thing. But no, he's had a great run there, and it's a great place, yeah. And he's really loving it.
That's awesome. So when did you decide medical school? When did you know you wanted to go that path?
Well, so when I was finishing, again, my dad was a physician, and, you know, I always just looked up to him. I thought he was the greatest guy ever. And he always gave me, my advice from my dad was, whatever you choose, make sure every day you go to work, you love what you're doing. And it came down my senior year in college. I was back and forth between, did I want to go to medical school or did I want to go into coaching? And actually, the guy that talked me probably into going into medical school instead of coaching was Coach Smith. And he just thought it would be a better fit for me. And it worked out phenomenal. So far, I've loved every day.
Okay. So you went down to Medical College of Wisconsin.
Yep.
And then you also did your residency there as well, correct?
Yes.
And then how did the whole transition down to Birmingham to work with Dr. Andrews for your fellowship workout?
Well, so again, you know, when I thought about the things that really stimulated me, as I went through my rotations in residency, I had tried a number of them. And at the end of the day, I just wasn't always enamored saying I'm having fun till I hit orthopedics. And then the culture of orthopedics at the medical college was phenomenal. What we did was interesting, exciting, and always fun. But then that other part of me that just absolutely loved athletics was out there too. And at that point, sports medicine was taking off in our country, beginning to grow. And I thought, well, boy, I can combine those two. I got it made. And the orthopedic surgeon down in Milwaukee who helped me kind of down that path was Bill Smith. And Bill had trained at the Houston Clinic in Georgia. Dr. Andrews was there, and they were friends. And Bill put me in contact with Dr. Andrews, who had just moved his fellowship program to Birmingham.
Oh, it just moved?
He had just moved. I think I was in his second year in Birmingham. So it was it was luck. Bill was a great guy, and we were good friends. He made sure that I went to a place that was going to be a pinnacle place. And Dr. Andrews said, hey, you know, I don't know much about you, but if Bill says you're all right, you're all right with me, and I'm taking you.
So it truly is who you know, not what you know.
It was 100%. Yes.
So then how did you, obviously then you made your way back up to the Midwest. How did the opportunity with the Green Bay Packers come around?
So when I was doing my fellowship, I went over, one of my residency buddies was doing his fellowship at the Houston Clinic. I went over to see what the Houston Clinic was all about and to see him. And we had lunch, and his physical therapist that they worked with came out for lunch with us. Her name was Julie Uecker. Julie's husband, Keith, played for the Packers at the time.
Oh, okay.
So we were talking, and I mentioned I'm moving back to Green Bay, and she went, oh my God, that my husband plays there. So the first year I was back, it was kind of, I was seeing patients from the Packers, kind of, I think Julie and some of those people were sending them over, and I'd see them if they wanted another opinion. And then at the second year I was back, the Packers had decided they were changing their medical staff direction. And Bob Harlan called and said, would you be interested and could we get you to join us? And that's how it happened. It was primarily an introduction through the players, and Bob has been a great friend forever. So it was fun.
You and I were talking about this offline before we started, but you know, in one of our previous episodes, Dr. Spears was talking about how he got with the Orlando Magic, and it was partially, he was the only sports medicine fellowship trained part of his group, and it was opportunity. Do you think that's partially what this was? Was there really a lot of people with a true, true sports medicine fellowship in this area at that time?
No, none. And so I think that was a big deal. And the world of sports medicine was really starting to expand and explode, and different areas of sports medicine were growing. And a lot of people didn't have that expertise and understanding. So it was easier back then to be a young guy but have a background that nobody else had to grab a piece, you know.
And I know that's been a cornerstone of what you've helped us build here is the true, true subspecialty clinic. Yeah. But in that world, it's not a nice to have. It's a have to have. You have to have that. You have to have that.
Yeah.
So you've been with them since the early 90s.
Yes.
And I know you and I have talked about this over the years, but I don't think the average person really has any idea what a medical director or team physician does for a professional team. And let's generalize to say that all pro sports in general probably have a team physician, right?
Yes.
What are your kind of, not day to day, but kind of like week to week, or what are the big things you're actually doing for the team besides just, hey, I'm hurt, and you're evaluating them? What are the things are you actually doing?
So, you know, if we start when the season is running, you know, it's typically from a schedule standpoint. I see, I think one of the things, and again, this was Dr. Andrews and Bill Clancy, who was the longtime sports medicine physician at the University of Wisconsin and an iconic guy in sports medicine. They both taught me this, that if you want to be in the world of sports medicine, you don't really have sports medicine and your practice. Everything is blended. Your entire life is what you're doing. You don't have time periods when you're working and not working necessarily, because you always got to be available and things can always change. So during the season, we would set up scheduled time every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I would go to the training room in the morning for however long they needed me. And then I would always be there on Saturday because it was before the Sunday games, and then always cover the games on Sunday. That was primarily seeing players and talking about who's injured. But then after those evaluations, I would sit with our head trainer, and then I would sit with the general manager, and then I would sit with the coach, and we would go through all of the injured players so we were all on the same page and everybody had an understanding of where our path was going in terms of when would he practice again, when will he play again, and what might have to happen to make those things possible. So it was a lot of the physical evaluation, but then the next half of that morning or whatever day I was out there was communicating. Communication was a huge part of it.
Yeah, and truly the business of sports, of yes. the kind of the, for lack of a better term, the dirty side of it, of that we still have to field the team.
Right.
And, you know, those are not, I'm sure, not easy conversations. Well,
and then you'd also, once that was done, this is still a kid whose career right. is very important. He had a family that I would talk to, and he had agents that I would talk to. And the agents over the years, you know, they always, you never really know, but they have been some of the best allies and support group that we could ever ask for in terms of caring for players. Oh. They really help us a lot.
Oh, that's interesting. Let's step back even from, you know, it's in season. I know I've talked to you about this. I know that a long-term trainer, Pepper, did a little presentation for us years back of just the medical side of the combine. And because I'm not going to lie to you, there's no way the average person knows there's a medical piece of the combine. And yeah. It's a huge piece of it. What is actually your role at the combine? What are you actually doing?
So the combine has significantly grown. When Pep was involved, they were kind of on the beginning of the growth and idea of the current combine when he was with the Jets. And so Pep watched this thing grow from not being in existence to being what it is today throughout his career, which was pretty amazing. What our role is we're taking kids and number one, we're doing a medical evaluation to make sure A, it's safe for them to play, and B, how durable will they be because of the potential of previous injury, and what can we do that potentially could prevent them from ever having injuries again. That's kind of the approach you would take. We would take. As the physician, we are all divided into groups at the combine, and we have the New York Giants, New Orleans Saints, Tampa Bay, and Carolina Panthers, and the Packers. We're all in one exam area.
And same group every year?
Same group every year.
Interesting.
The other rooms have their same collection. Everybody's mechanism of evaluation is a little different, but we basically have two tables. I bring down a support group of other physicians that help me go through these guys, because we'll basically do physical evaluations on about 360 guys.
that's insane.
It's crazy.
In over a course, how many days?
3 days. Yes. And now it's four. It used to be three. And it's basically a screening process. The kids come into Indianapolis, which is where it's always been up to this point, the day before. They're evaluated by a resident physician or an athletic trainer the night before, where their history is obtained. If they had an obvious big injury prior to that, then additional studies, x-rays, et cetera, would be obtained. The next morning, they see us. So we get a piece of paper that's been, the history's been obtained. We get to read it and verify it. And then we all do evaluations. And typically, if there's five of us standing around the table, one guy will do the evaluation, the rest of us watch. If there's something interesting to evaluate, then we all do the exam as well. So that's the evaluation. Then we also evaluate the any studies that were done. And then if we want other studies, we order them, and they're done that afternoon. And then we do that every day for the 3 days. And that's the orthopedic evaluation. The medical doc, Jim Eben is our medical doc now, they're in a separate area, and they go through all of the organ system medical evaluations. So
whole nother evaluation.
Yeah, whole nother everything. Make sure EKGs are done, and there is no predisposing medical issue that could put the kid in danger if he continues his playing career. And then they collate all their information. And that's the process of the medical evaluation at the combine. But then when we get home, we have to go through it all again. And so I used to, with Pep and now with Brian Angle, we'll sit down and go through every single player again, go through every single study that was done, make sure we documented everything correctly so we have the right information.
Right.
And then we also share our information and grading system with all the other teams that we have good relationships with. And so we might get 7 or 8 other teams that give us their medical grades, and we give them our medical grades. And then we evaluate and make sure. And if we're the only one that graded a player poorly, everybody else said there's nothing wrong with them, I get a chance to say, whoa, I better check what I just said.
Sure.
And I go over everything again. Often I say, well, I don't care. I still think it's this. But it's a nice way to kind of bounce ideas off. And so that's the combine. It's an interesting deal.
And then it's just the sprint to the draft, I'm sure, where you're just constantly being asked questions.
Yes.
And I was telling you this before we started, I can't believe how many patients I've had of yours over the years be like, during the draft, you know, they'll have the cameras in the draft room, right? I'll, the next day, like, hey, why was my doctor in the draft room? What is he doing there? I'm like, well, he's not drafting players.
Right.
You know, but so is that really, you're there to answer any questions about medical questions they would have had? Well, why did you grade him this?
As we go through that process, then we will have several meetings with, like right now it's Brian, our Gutekunst, our general manager, to explain what our medical grades are on individual players to give him an idea of the medical aspect, which is just one small part of what they go through in their evaluations.
Sure.
When we're in the draft, so we've already reviewed it 2 or 3 times prior to the draft, but we're always dotting the I's and crossing the T's on draft day. So then he might give me 5 names and say, check these again, make sure we're all right on these grades. Yep. So I review them with Brian, and we go through all the grades and say, okay, I think we're good on all this. And hey, same thing we talked about, just to make sure there's not a mistake.
And then I'm sure once even the season starts, there's new guys coming in every week that are being evaluated for tryouts. It never ends.
It doesn't. And there's a consistency to it, because there's everybody's got schedules, and the scouts are out all the time. And so when they are home, we tend to bring the kids in. So Mondays and Tuesdays will be significant days of free agent evaluations if they want to do any and that kind of stuff. And again, it's just one of those things, you adapt to it. When,
just
when they
becomes
come
part
in
of your schedule.
Yeah, you do it. And I always say we don't have a schedule. You know, most we have is I start a day at some time period. and the rest of it is variable the rest of the day until it's over.
And I know your team over the year has been good at telling that story to patients, and I think your patient over the year, all your patients understand your things of what you have going on.
Yeah.
I know you started your practice with an independent group in town, with your vision of always having something where obviously you were going to do the stuff with the Packers till your career is coming to an end here, whenever you decide that may be. But the idea of having the ability to put a building close enough where the Packers could come to you, not always you having to go to them, and just that ease of the flow of your day, minus surgery, obviously. I know you play. This has been a huge piece for you. You know, I've talked about a lot on the podcast. My joke when I do the intros, we're a stone's throw away from Lambeau Field. We literally are, you know? And, you know, so what has it meant? We're recording this in our VIP room where when you see players, this is where they come. How long was this your vision of a building like this? Really a practice like this for you?
I mean, I was hoping for my whole career I'd have something like this. And there, it was a couple things. The building, and I have to be very honest about it, you know, my brain probably could have never thought about this building. That would not be in my expertise area. The fact that it could be close, I'd want forever. But conceptually, what we've done also, I think, is huge, meaning subspecialty care.
Yep.
And I think in a populated area that's not remote up in the woods in northern Michigan or Minnesota or Wisconsin, subspecialty care should be practiced. I'm big on promoting that. And that's what this also gave us an opportunity to do, that everybody, I do sports medicine, which is basically, from a surgical standpoint, orthopedically, knee and shoulder, arthroscopy and ligament reconstruction, period. I think if one day you're doing an ankle, the next day you're doing a knee replacement, the next day you're doing a rotator cuff repair, and the next day a hand surgery, you got no areas of expertise necessarily.
And what does the patient want?
And if you focus on a smaller area, I think the quality of the work goes way up. So that was accomplished. And I think it's been really, really exciting watching it. And I think we're beginning to understand it even better. And in the future, we're going to be even better. It's going to continue to grow. I think what we did upstairs, what you guys have done, is phenomenal. It's not a traditional old physical therapy clinic that we used to have.
Sure.
It's got everything, you know, and it's a collection of highly skilled athletic trainers and physical therapists that are involved that have embraced technology while still embracing the basic principles of everything else we've always done. And I think that's been really exciting.
Yeah, so, I think it, for me too, and I know obviously I'm lucky enough to sit at the table as we design this place. The idea of truly designing a place around the way you treat and the way that the patient experience versus just, well, this is what medical buildings look like, right? That was probably the most exciting part for me. And I know you obviously got to do that with yours. I mean, this room is an evolution of that, right?
Yeah.
You know, we see it all over the news of people that'll come from around the country and people have no idea they've been in this building.
Right.
That's the beauty of the design, right?
That
they can get in, get out, and those things.
You know, awesome. One of the fun things that just when you talk about what we have here, the doc down in Chicago, Mark Bowen, called me. It was a couple years ago, but basically he said, "Pat, I'm leaving my office. I'm heading to the Bears facility. I'll be in the car for the next 55 minutes. If you want to give me a call." I called him back, got his voicemail. I said, "Mark, I'm leaving my office. I'm heading to the Packer facility. I'll be in the car for the next 2 minutes and 4 seconds. If you can give me a call." So nobody has this.
Right.
No, nobody has anything even close.
No.
You know, and again, it's one of those things when we started, again, with the advice from Jim Andrews and Bill Clancy, be there. The more often you're there in terms of the training room, especially as a young guy starting out, the less chance you're going to miss anything. You're going to catch it, you know, if you're there enough. And So I made it for a while. I was out there every day, often. Even now, I'm there every day. When some of our coaches have left and gone to other places, they have told their docs they wanted their service from the medical team the same as it was in Green Bay, where we were there every day. And the guys will call me and say, "Pat,
you're killing us.
It's an hour and a half drive for me to get to the facility. Right? You know, depending on time of day, I can't do it." You know, but it was just, again, one of our advantages. Yeah. And it's cool.
So where do you see this going? You know, when you look at the kind of the world, how much it's even changed for you, the medical side has changed for you. Obviously, medicine will change as research and we learn and people do things. That's great. But just the medical management of a professional team, where do you see it going over the next 15 to 20 years? So what do you see actually changing?
I think what we're going to see is kind of a continued growth in terms of understanding the specialization that needs to occur. And that's going to be on the physician side, because we've gotten better. Things have changed. When I started, ACL reconstructions were new. And at the combine, I remember most, in my first couple years, most ACL reconstructions that we would see, we would fail on an exam.
Give them the worst grade.
Yeah. It, just for a variety of reasons, but they weren't working. As time has gone on, we're at a point now where, with all the education that's gone on in training programs and guys coming out, when we're seeing an ACL reconstruction now, if it fails, we call everybody together and say, "Can you believe what happened here? Why did this not work?" You know, it's that kind of a thing. That's the growth. We've seen it in our management of concussions. Stimulated, we've done a hell of a job getting better at what we do with concussion management. It's a big thing. And that kind of growth is going to continue. What we're doing now, 20 years from now, will seem archaic in a lot of areas. Sure. So I think being sure that we are watching that, seeing the areas that need to grow and expand, and making sure we're being involved in that at the right time is important. And that goes from the analytics of studying our injuries and why they occur and how they occur and how we can stop them, to what we should be doing diagnostically, to what we should be doing interventionally. I think all of that has to be monitored, and that's what I see growing.
Yeah, I would agree. I feel like we're just tip of the iceberg. It's unbelievable analytics-wise now you can get, and now it's a matter of what of this stuff matters, what if it doesn't. Yeah. And just the idea, I agree with you. I mean, I know Bob Anderson talked about the Achilles, how same thing. Achilles was an absolute career killer when he started his career, and now it's like, no, it's, you know, the surgery's better, the rehab's better, and just we understand the world better that way. ACL's the same thing for that, so... Anything we missed? Anything else from the professional team side?
No, I mean, I think it's just, it's going to continue to be a fascinating world. The other thing I think that's interesting is I've noticed a lot more collaboration that we do, meaning the NFL, and me in particular, with the other sports and the physicians, because there are things they do in baseball we don't do. There are things they do in soccer that we don't do, in hockey. There are things we do that they don't do. And I think a lot of that collaborative sharing really helps as well, because there's different sides of every sport, but what they're doing can also help us in a different way. And I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, good one to end on. Well, appreciate your time. And this is part one of part two. So we will, this isn't goodbye. This is, we'll see you soon.
Whatever you tell me, I'm back.
All right. Thanks. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Dr. Pat McKenzie. You know, I thought it was really interesting when he was talking about getting people back from their injury and kind of how they want to rush the timeline. And that with the professional sports, when there's such large contracts in the line, they're more willing to stick to the more conservative timeline and do it the right way. Yet when we have high school kids, college kids, where the timeline is very limited. They know that they're not going to be around, might be their senior year, how those things start getting blurred. And man, he hit that nail right on the head. We see this so often. You know, it's so hard. I've been there myself. It's just so hard. Sports is life at that time in your life. And between the parents and the child, it's always hard. You always feel like, obviously, you're getting pressured on both sides to just get people back and get them right. But at the same time, you know, I always joke, Dr. McKenzie always is worried about you in 10 years, not in 10 weeks. So, you know, we got to make the right decision for the kid, even if that means we have to be, you know, the bad, kind of the bad cop in that situation. But great interview. I hope you enjoyed it. We have another interview coming up with Dr. McKenzie on our next episode that will focus more on ACL reconstruction. So more to come from Dr. McKenzie. I included a link to Dr. McKenzie's bio in the description. It also has a little bio video of him that's worth your time watching. So please enjoy that as well. Well, we're nearing the end of the episode of Players Anatomy. Thank you again for listening. If you like what you heard, please hit subscribe. Tell a friend. We continue to try to grow our listening. Again, next time we'll have Dr. McKenzie back on to talk about ACL reconstruction, so you don't want to miss that. And to keep up with all that is going on at Bell & Health Titletown happenings, please search any social media platform for at Bell & Health Titletown, and you will find us there. Finally, Charlie's Cut. So let's take a minute here reflecting on today's interview. I hope you really appreciate how much time and energy is spent by your medical staff of your favorite professional team. So, yes, I know you want your favorite player back yesterday. So do they, but they are looking out for not only the benefit of the franchise, but also the benefit of really the player, obviously. So please don't reach out to your favorite player on social media and ask him or her, you know, if they're playing this weekend, you know, why aren't you back yet? There is so much time and energy. There's collaboration. Dr. McKenzie touched on that in his interview of how they'll reach out to other professional, really sports franchises, not even within the same realm. So, you know, he's in the NFL with the Green Bay Packers. They might reach out to someone in the soccer world, someone in the hockey world. They're doing everything they can to get your player, your favorite player, right. So please don't add any more pressure or reach out. I know it was a couple years ago. There was a big blow up. I spoke to that with Dr. McKenzie with Bennett here locally. That really was completely outrageous and ridiculous. And so many former players came to Dr. McKenzie's defense and really explained, no, he has our best benefit at heart. And, you know, at all he wants is us to be right and protect us long, short and long term. So, again, no. Please just know there's so much time and energy being spent by your medical staff, your favorite team, and just try to just respect that for them. Well, thank you again for listening. I am Charlie DeClean, and we'll see you next time on Players Anatomy.